Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Do you feel like one side of your body is always tighter than the other side? If you've got scoliosis, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe somebody has told you that you need to stretch it out. You need to, if you feel tightness, you need to have a good stretch to feel the release. So today I'm going to be talking about why stretching might not always be the answer. And we're going to have a look a little bit on what side we need to stretch, what side we need to strengthen. We're going to have a look at the idea of there being a weak side and a strong side is there. So welcome to Back Chat. Welcome to Move with Scoliosis. Extra welcome if you are completely new here. This is a live stream right now, so you might be watching this on the replay, or I can see there's a few of you guys live with me. So feel free to join the chat if you're not driving or doing something else. And you've got any questions, feel free to put them in there. So I would definitely not be demonstrating anything today, I'm afraid. We're not going to be doing any exercise as such, because you've got this whole YouTube channel full. I think I've got about at least over 300 videos on this channel with yoga practices, Pilates practices for different curvatures, S-curve scoliosis, C-curve scoliosis, spinal fusion. So you've got a whole variety there of things. And as we're going to talk about, you obviously want to make sure that you are doing the right thing for your scoliosis at the end of the day as well. So the other reason why I'm not demonstrating is I had a little bit of a tumble this week. On Monday, I basically slipped on the stairs and I tore a ligament in my knee, which was not very good and really annoying. And fortunately, it could have been a lot worse. So fortunately, it's not too bad and I'm slowly recovering from it. But it does mean that walking isn't great and going up and down the stairs is also not great. Anyway, I'm not here to complain at all. I'm here obviously to talk to you guys about our curvatures. And let's start with something fairly obvious. But let's assume you didn't have scoliosis and you had a completely straight spine. Do you think you would still be feeling tightness in your body? I'm going to say most definitely you would. So even if you have a completely straight spine, there will be imbalances in your body, of course. And this is simply from maybe overworking one side, from carrying a bag for long periods of time, to doing things one-sided. It could be gardening, whatever you're doing. So we are always, in a way, creating imbalances. So this is obviously with a straight spine. Now, if we have a scoliosis, so with your structure, you've got an S or a C curve, then you've got a little bit of an added challenge there. Because already your muscles will have adapted to a place where some parts are a little bit shorter and some parts are a little bit longer. Now, when I came to this work, and I have scoliosis myself, as most of you know, and I was diagnosed as a child, so very early on. But then once I started kind of learning a little bit more about it and I understood which side is convex and concave, and I did draw it here for you guys as well. So just as a little reminder, oh, let's see, the light here. That's better. Good. So we've got the outward curvature, which is the convex side, and then we've got the inward curvature, which is the concave side. So I was like, well, this is great. I can do this. So basically what I need to do is I understand that on the concave side, let me find my pen, that here on the concave side, the muscles are a little bit shorter, tightened. So I'm just going to have to stretch them. And then here on the other side, they are longer. So I'm just going to have to shorten them. I also thought at that point that this side, the concave side, was just kind of was short, tight, and strong. And I thought this side, the convex side, is the weak side. So we're going to have to strengthen it and shorten it. So there are just a few problems. And the more I kind of learned about this topic, I was like, oh, this is not right. And especially once I understood that, and many of you maybe know my videos with Dr. Lauren Fishman, who's done a lot of research in this topic, who basically is saying that we need to strengthen this convex side here to make sure that we kind of shorten those muscles and restoring balance in that way. And then there were other people like Aaron Myers, for example, one of them, saying, no, he's wrong. This is not true. They need to do it on the other side. So it's completely wrong. And I was like, I asked myself, how can there be so completely different opinions on this topic? How can it be that there isn't kind of a clear answer on this? And Dr. Fishman obviously clearly says this is working for him. Aaron Meyer says this is clearly working for her, but she's doing the complete other side. So I don't know if anybody has kind of can relate to this confusion, or maybe you've asked yourself, oh, which side should I do my side plank on? So I definitely found this always really, really confusing. And the problem lies in, we are basically not like this graphic. We are not two-dimensional and we are not flat. So unfortunately, it's not as simple. So first of all, we have to understand that there is it's a 3D condition. So we're not flat, but it's more like a spiral. So it's more three-dimensional in the sense that the convex side, and this is looking from the back, remember, this is important. This is also how you would look at your X-ray, if possible, that this side would be coming out towards you, that convex side. So this is the hump side. And then this is the concave side, is the sunken area. Remember, this is looking from the back. Now, if you were looking from the front, this would be a completely different situation, yeah? So my convex side, for example, I've got an S-curve scoliosis, so I've got two curvatures instead of one. But so the convex side and the top is my right side. Yeah, so that is, we would say, oh, that's the side that is long, where the muscles are long and they need to be shortened. Well, at the front of this convex side, you can see if I just kind of let go of my shoulder, and I have trained it obviously to stay back, but it still does it naturally. This wants to roll forwards, right? So this front here is actually short. The muscles are short on this side. Now the same thing happens on my concave side, but the other way around. So obviously, according to this, concave side, muscles are short, right? Short here on this side. Looking from the back, that is true. That's the sunken in area that we want to expand. But looking at the front, actually the ribs are coming out a little bit more on this side. I actually have a slightly larger breast on the left side as well. So this side is all pushed forward. So the muscles are long on this side. So I'm going to pause here for a moment because I know that this is this can be really, really confusing, especially if you are fairly new to this topic. So let me know if anything doesn't make sense that I'm saying, and I'm trying to repeat it. So that's one of the issues, that it's not quite as simple as, well, we've got one side that needs to be stretched, the other side that needs to strengthen or to shorten. The other thing that I have found working with people, especially, because again, in the beginning, I was like, well, concave side, strong side, that must be the tight side, right? That must be the side. There's no space that we need to kind of open up and stretch. Well, actually, I have found that most complaints about tightness are on the convex side. And again, I would love to hear if that's the same thing for you. So for me, for example, my main curvature is a left lumbar curve. And that's where I've got my most sensations, on the left side, on the convex side, not on the concave side, which is kind of short and you would think needs to be stretched out. No, it's on the convex side. So if I didn't know anything about convex, concave, I would be thinking, this is tight on my left side, I need to stretch it. Well, obviously, we know that in theory, that's where most of the muscles are actually already long, even though I did say it's a 3D condition, obviously, so there's also a difference between front and back. But even if we are looking from the side, if we weren't taking that into consideration, we don't want to stretch it further, right? Because it's already long and it's already overstretched. So that is kind of, in a nutshell, the problem with this thinking. So what you might be asking, what do we do about this, right? We first of all, we take a moment and ask ourselves, what do we want to achieve, right? Is it that we've just got tightness at the moment and we want to release that? Or is it that we're wanting to create more balance in our body and want to find better alignment and stand a little bit taller, right? So there are kind of a little bit more short-term approaches, and then there are a little bit more long-term approaches. And in my opinion, you need both, right? Nobody wants to be in pain, of course. Nobody wants to be in discomfort. And it's actually very much a vicious cycle if you are in pain, because if you are in pain, this will cause stress. This will cause all sorts of problems, and you might be having problems with your partner because you're complaining about your back pain all the time. You might be not being able to do anything that you want to do and you need help. So this can cause stress. Now, stress can create pain as well. So this is where that vicious cycle comes in. So if you are stressed and if your mind is always kind of occupied and really busy and overwhelmed, this can then cause stress in your body without even anything else being wrong. Obviously, there's other factors as well that come on top of that, but this is something we need to understand. So it is really important to break this cycle, first of all. So we kind of want to forget about the concave and convex for a while, to just allow our nervous system to settle down. And for me, the most helpful thing, well, there's a lot of things actually that have been helpful, but I find in an emergency situation of, tightening and gripping, and you know, it might even be spasm or however you want to describe your pain, I have found restorative yoga to be the thing that is the most helpful. And restorative yoga is a type of yoga where we are fully supported by either the floor or props like bolsters, blocks, pillows, whatever we've got around the house. And we allow our body to be in this position, feeling safe. That is probably the most important thing, and breathing, and just allowing your nervous system to calm down. And this can be in different positions. So it's not just lying in Shavasana. There are many, many other positions that you can do, or poses that you can do. Okay, Judy is saying yes, both. I'm not quite sure what you mean. I'm guessing it's about where the pain is on the concave or convex side, possibly. Laura is saying the convex side is tricky. It is stronger and weaker too. Yes, and I love, Laura, that you're saying that, because again, it might feel like it's your strong side, but is it really the strong side? Well, it is overworked. It is probably doing more work than the other side, the concave side, which very often a lot of us feel like almost there's no connection to it, or the muscles are not quite participating. So it is strong when you're hanging into your curve in a way, because that's a familiar pattern, but we want to train it to come out, so to shorten the muscles, and strengthening at the same time. So this is kind of thinking about it as re-educating your body to find a little bit more of a balanced condition. Good. Do you know what to consider with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, i.e. lacks connective tissue? Family member has not mentioned pain. They do work out. Yeah, this is not my area of expertise, I'm afraid. That is a completely different, that's a different thing as well. But, and it's very, very difficult in a way when there aren't the sensations to be working with, obviously. They do work out, so that's great, obviously, because movement is always going to be good and great. And I mentioned earlier on that I injured my knee, and I found it quite interesting that the surgeon or the orthopedist that looked at me, the first thing he said was like, whatever you do, don't strap it up or put your knee in a brace. Where it's like, oh, okay, that's, he's just going to give me like a brace or even a cast or whatever. They don't do that anymore, because they have learned that actually the body recovers and heals much more quickly from injury, especially when you move. Now, you want to move in a pain-free zone. So this is really, really important, that you're kind of staying on this pain-free side. And this is difficult when you've just had an injury, of course. So I've been trying to stay pain-free, but tease it a little bit. So just always seeing, can I get a little bit more range of motion, a little bit more movement, but not overwhelming my system. So that is really, really important. Good. Inspired by Wanda, my convex side hurt more for years. Now my concave side is more painful. Changes with age? I think pain does move around in the body. And I think anybody who has had chronic pain can relate to this as well. Sometimes if you bring your whole focus into one area and you're like, right, I'm going to get rid of this, I'm going to put all my effort in to releasing this. Now, this is a way of your body drawing attention to you, right? Pain is, or sensations are, is a signal or is a way of communicating with you. And sometimes what happens is you finally get that release because you're giving that side attention, the pain will just go somewhere else, right? And it will, because we haven't really maybe addressed the underlying cause, which is not always scoliosis, or very rarely is it actually scoliosis. Yes, we've got our muscle imbalances to deal with, but it might be other things. It might be that you're scared of ending up in a wheelchair, ending up in a place where you can't move. You might be not happy with the way that it looks. So there might be other things going on as well that might contribute to this. But typically, coming back to you, sorry about convex and concave, typically convex side is the one that is overworked. The concave side is the one that is compressed. So especially if this is a lumbar curve, and that would be interesting to know, if the ribs come really close towards your hips, towards the top of the hips, that can be painful. So that's another thing that sometimes happens. Good. Paula is saying, if I put more weight on my right lumbar, it opens up the left tightness, but the tightness pulls me to the left side. If I put more weight on my right lumbar, it opens up the left tightness, but the tightness pulls me to the left side. Okay, so there's obviously a few things going on, and I don't know how you're doing this, obviously. If you're thinking about in standing, if you're thinking about a shift, if you're thinking about lying down, because one thing that is quite nice to do, and Inspired to Wonder is saying, yes, it's a lumbar curve. If you want to open up that space on the concave side, obviously you have to shorten the convex side. So that's one way of kind of creating that change, right? And so you could lie on a bolster. Now, I suggest not to lie on a foam roller because that's hard, but something soft that you put into your waist. So for me, it would be into the left waist to open up and create that space on the right side, so on the right side of the waist. Now, remember, obviously, that there is a front and back to it as well. So in this case, when you open this up, remember that you also want to create space at the back, but not at the front. So you could slightly lean forwards, right? This might sound like a lot of different things to consider. But it is important to understand this, that it's not just the sides, but it's also front and back. Good. So, Paula, I'm still trying to understand what you mean exactly, what's happening. But I think the bottom line is it's very difficult to, and sometimes a lot of times people say, listen to your body, right? Your body will tell you what to do. Well, I do believe this is tricky with scoliosis, because your body might be telling you, well, or is it your body? Is it your body telling you something, but then your brain is starting to analyze it and telling you to, oh, I need to stretch it out. Where in fact it might be no, you just need to release the muscles, and that's different from stretching. And then you need to move, and then you need to strengthen. So a lot of you know, obviously, that I have found Pilates and strength training as well to be super, super helpful for people with scoliosis, especially if you are the type that really enjoys stretching. And I count myself into this. Now, I am not super flexible naturally. So stretching did serve me for a while, because it did help me to kind of get away from this rigidness and tightness. But it wasn't a long-term solution. So I did understand at some point that, no, I kind of need to think about this in a different way. The stretching is not there to relax you. Stretching doesn't really relax you. What relaxes you is breathing. And has anybody ever tried yin yoga? In yin yoga, you hold positions for a very long time. And it might seem like an intense stretching class. And there's a way to go about this where I'm thinking like, no, this is not good for us. But what it does make you feel really, really relaxed. But the reason is not because you've been stretching. It's probably because you've been mindful, you've been present, and you've been breathing consciously. Good. So Solar H, wondering whether their scoliosis could be more naturally corrected, even if a little as joints. Oh, you're talking about EDS. Would they focus more on shorter muscles more? Would they focus more on the shorter muscles more when there is no pain? Yeah, I think again, it is all about creating a little bit more balance. And normally with EDS, yes, you would avoid overstretching. And really, I think that goes for everyone, really. And especially as you know that there is a very strong link, hypermobility and scoliosis, most likely stretching is not the solution. And we are learning more and more about this topic. And the idea of kind of pulling on muscles and then staying that way, it's simply not true, right? They will just kind of go back. So that is not the thing that is actually going to lengthen your muscles. So especially passive stretching doesn't actually do anything. So if you want to create change, you have to kind of think about it in a more of an active way. And movement professionals talk about eccentric and concentric strengthening a lot. And what that means, eccentric means in an elongated way. So for the concave side, this would be thinking about the muscles eccentrically, would be lengthening them and strengthening them at the same time. And then concentrically on the other side, so shortening them and strengthening them at the same time. Good. So it is a big topic. It's a topic that we are learning more and more about. There's been some really, really great research over the last few months that I'm digging into at the moment, and that I want to share with you guys, obviously, as well, very soon. So, yeah, but I am going to, for today, I'm going to leave it at this. And I'm hoping this gives you a little bit, probably it has left you a little bit more confused than you were before, which I think is fine as well, because it is not a straightforward topic. It's not something that is going to be resolved just like this. It is a repatterning thing, right? It is not a simple stretching this more, strengthening this more way. So let's marinate in this a little bit. Let's keep practicing. Let's keep observing as well. And at the end of the day, you know your body best. And you know how your body responds, and you also know what your body needs at the end of the day. Yes, sometimes that kind of takes a little bit of picking apart, and sometimes we think that we're questioning everything, basically. But there's a lot of things where you cannot go wrong, right? You cannot go wrong by slowing down, by observing and breathing. So this is going to be my bottom line, really, of this topic. We keep thinking about it. We let the scientists research it, and then we have a look at the research and hopefully learning more a little bit every time we talk to each other. Good. So thank you so much, guys, for listening to me. Always lovely to see you all turning up live. We've got some great back chats coming up over the next few months as well. So I'm going to keep you updated. Make sure that you are subscribed, obviously, to the channel. And I see you very soon. Bye, guys.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.